This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
We have the most secure border in the history of this nation, and the data proves it. The data proves it.
Tom Homan. He is the border czar for President Trump, and we are awaiting his phone call here in a couple of minutes. We're going to get him on. I've got C's dialing in right now to talk more about what's going on at the southern border, what we've been able to accomplish, maybe what is in this big, beautiful bill, if we can get it passed the Senate, that would, of course, continue to secure our southern and northern borders, for that matter, and make us all more safe if we're not having fentanyl and all that stuff coming over the borders. In fact, let me get to Tom Homan right now. Mr. Homan, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Doing fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Great to have you on this morning. We've got a lot of serious issues in this country, but I got to tell you, you guys have absolutely straightened out this problem at the southern border in what's got to be record time.
Well, yeah, we had the border down decreased over 90%, and I believe just over 7 weeks. Now, President Trump was able to accomplish in 7 weeks what Joe Biden couldn't or wouldn't do in 4 years. So it was even faster than my record. I mean, I told the president in the beginning maybe 120 days, but we beat that. It was fast.
Yeah, it's true. What's at stake here? There's lots of political opinions on whether the big, beautiful bill cuts enough or doesn't cut enough. And I know there are debates going on in the Senate right now over that very issue. But what's at stake here when it comes to border security?
Well, look, you know, we made great strides in border security. We got to make those strides permanent. We still got a lot more work to do. I mean, the southern border, we're down about 95% right now. But we still need, we got a lot of DOD, thousands of DOD soldiers down there to fill in the blanks. In the zones we can't cover. So look, we need to hire more border patrol agents. That's in the bill. We have more technology and more border wall. Look, every place that built a border barrier, illegal migration decreased and illegal drug flow decreased. That's what we're all about. And the technology alone that goes in that wall, it's a smart wall. So when Joe Biden came in office, not only did he stop building the wall, he didn't finish the technology within that wall that would notify us when someone approaches that wall, climbs the wall, goes under the wall. It also provided communications between border patrol agents because there's certain areas in the border where agents can't talk to one another because there's no repeater tower and it's just so isolated there. So, and it's also going to add technology to the port of entries to speed up, legal trade and still try to catch the contraband coming across. Not even speak about the northern border, where we have a lack of resources, a great lack of technology. The northern border is down about 87%. We need to get that down to match the southern border, but we got less resources out there. We got to put more boots on the ground. We need a lot more technology on the northern border. So when it comes to the border, we still have a lot of work to do. We make great strides, but if we want to make these successes permanent, we need funding to do it.
Well, I know the Trump administration has been offering these illegals money to essentially self-deport, which I think is smart. I believe there was the first flight out. There were some 64 or so people who agreed to self-deport. How many more have gone, or have there been more illegals who have agreed to self-deport?
Yeah, I looked at the numbers yesterday. We got just under 8,000 already signed up for removal. We of course need more than that, so we got to keep sending the message out, especially in the Spanish language stations.
Yeah.
Well, we got about 8,000 now, but you know our deportations have ramped up. We have a lot more teams to them, so we can keep sending the message. If we have to find and deport you, you're gonna have a bar from coming back to this country under an illegal program. So leave on your own, give yourself an opportunity to come under a legal program, and give yourself some opportunities, because we have to find you and formally deport you. There aren't going to be no opportunity.
Yeah. Tom Homan, our guest, President Trump's border czar. What have you had any more interaction with some of these members of Congress who seem to think they can show up and disrupt, you know, ICE detention facilities with no repercussions whatsoever? I know at least one of them is facing charges right now, correct?
Right, you know, and I think we sent a strong message. Like, you know, you can protest all you want, you can, you know, work against ICE, you can not, you know, support ICE, you can hate on President Trump's immigration policy, but you can't cross the line. You can't cross the line of impeachment. You can't cross the line of knowingly harboring, concealing an alien, which is a felony. You certainly can't criminal trespass, and for God's sakes, you can't put hands on an ICE officer. So you can protest all you want, but if you cross that line, we will seek prosecution through the Pam Bondi's office.
A number of the leftist federal judges have tried to make it very difficult for you to do the job that you were brought in to do, which is deport illegal aliens. How big of a challenge has that been? Is it just extra, you know, kind of a headache for you guys, or does this truly pose a challenge for you guys trying to get these people out of our country?
It's a huge challenge, and it's posing a national security threat. I mean, we are focusing on public safety threats and national security threats. It seems like every other day you got some district court judge, and I use the word district court judge, issuing nationwide injunctions, which we don't think he has the authority to do. And we're asking Supreme Court to address that as soon as possible, because there are a lot of bad people. Look, right now today, there's just a little over 600,000 illegal aliens in this country who are a public safety, who have criminal convictions, walking the streets of this country. We need to find them and quickly remove them. But it seems like every other day we got some district court judge want to change what we've been doing for decades. So, yeah, I hope the Supreme Court hears us quickly, because they are. They're putting speed bumps everywhere. We're not giving up. We're going to keep going out there. We're going to arrest them and put them in detention. And they're going to get them off the street, but we need to be removed from this country. And most of the district court judges who are issuing nationwide injunctions have to do with the actual removal of these people from the United States. You know, no one cared about the legal process when 10.5 million came to the border illegally. No one cared about the legal process then, but now we're trying to deport them after a federal judge has ordered them removed, a federal immigration judge. All of a sudden now, everybody's paying attention to the legal process, a new process, when they simply ignored it in the beginning of the crisis under Joe Biden. It's just ridiculous.
It's unbelievable. Tom Homan, our guest, of course, borders are trying to protect our children and our borders from the illegals and the drugs that have been coming over. Sir, I have to ask, they say when you're taking fire, you're over the target. You're being attacked in headlines this morning for the fact that as a private individual, you did some consulting work, and now they're trying to claim there's some conflict of interest with one of these companies.
You know, what they're not saying is it's our response to that newspaper. Shame on them, the Washington Post, because we gave a response to them. Of course, they include it. I did have my own company. I had a lot of clients. But by law, when you come back into the White House or in the administration, you got to recuse yourself from any discussions with these companies, any discussions on contracts, anything to do with these companies. But I went a step further. I went to the White House and I said, I won't recuse myself from these companies, just be clients. But I'm going to go a step further. I'm recused myself from any discussion of any contract whatsoever. So in my position as board of czar, I do not have discussions about contracts. I don't get involved in the negotiation of contracts. I don't have anything to do with awarded contracts. I'm completely removed myself from the entire process. But they didn't report that. Well, they didn't report that I was successful in my own company, and I took an 80% pay cut to come back and serve my country. How many of these reporters would do that? So you know, I come back to serve my nation, took a huge pay cut for me and my family to do the right thing for this country. And I'll say it again. In this position I am, I have nothing, zero to do with any contracts whatsoever. Not just the companies I work for or worked with, but all contracts to do with the federal government. Of course, they failed to report that because we're dishonest media.
Well, I don't think you can hate the media enough. I just have to make that observation. Tom Holman, thanks for all you're doing for our country right now, sir. We appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. Take care of yourself. Our borders are Tom Holman there, and never one to back down from a fight. If you Google Tom Holman's name right now, the top 10 articles you bring up are from MSNBC, The Washington Post, Axios, all these hard left organizations with these headlines suggesting that he's somehow profiting from, because as a private individual, he did consulting, and now some of the same companies he consulted for are getting government contracts to deal with illegal aliens who are being deported or detained. Well, if you're in the immigration consulting business, how would that not be the case? And he's completely recused himself from any of those negotiations. It's just more noise. You can't hate the mainstream media in this country enough that they make suggestions and try to impugn his character just because they don't like his border policies.
Yeah, it won't be interesting once Trump's no longer president if they have this much hatred toward another conservative candidate.
Yeah.
It's hard to compete with the hate they have for Donald Trump, truly. I mean, it's unlike anything I've ever seen before.
It is.
And I used to be among them who, you know, but I remember covering Trump events and, you know, everyone would turn to us and scream at us and say fake news.
Yeah.
And that used to really bother me. And it's funny because now being on the other side of it where I'm like, they are fake news.
They
tell only one side.
Look at the headline this morning. Google Elon Musk. The headlines are Elon Musk turns away from Donald Trump's administration after being critical of the big, beautiful bill. Well, actually, what Elon Musk said was, my job here is done. It was always a limited amount of time. We've had a great impact. Mr. President, thank you for letting us serve your country. A completely different story if you read his quote versus what the headlines are about what's happened today. So, hopefully people have learned that lesson if they've learned nothing else from listening to this program. All right, coming up at the bottom of the hour, we've gotten Jeremy Cady to move to 7:35 because I want to have a little more time with him. He's done an in-depth look at the impact sports stadiums have on a local economy, sporting events. It's not what you might think. It's not the big impact that you might have been led to believe. And right now they're debating more subsidies. We're going to get to all that and more for you at 7:35. Stay tuned. Oh, you know, it seems like every day, obviously, I'm glad we're doing the investigations. They're looking into the cocaine at the White House, which was pretty obviously a cover-up. What I'd love to see them look into is the leak at the Supreme Court that got covered up. The leak of the
abortion ruling
decision overturning Roe, because that was a cover up too. There's only 70 people that work in the entire building. Finding out who leaked that was not impossible, but I'll guarantee you Justice Roberts didn't want the information getting out because it would have directly implicated one of the three liberal justices or one of their staff members, and they wanted to tamp that down. So there's a bunch of stuff we need to find out about. The other things that are coming out right now are thanks to whistleblowers. I don't know if you saw this or not, Kim, but under the Biden administration, they snuck in some language. You know, they were all about relieving people of their responsibilities for loans. So they decided that there was a big problem in this country with farmers who had to take out loans and couldn't repay them. But the only farmers they were worried about were ones that weren't white. So they included language in the bill. Here's part of the story. News Nation reported on this, and good for them for exposing this. Listen to this story.
Race-based loan forgiveness. It's in black and white, buried in the American Rescue Plan Act. The United States Secretary of Agriculture shall provide a payment in an amount up to 120% of the outstanding indebtedness of each socially disadvantaged farmer or rancher. The act explicitly lays out who's considered socially disadvantaged.
So just to be clear, if you were American Indian, Alaskan Native, Asian Black, African American, Native Hawaiian, Pacific Islander, Hispanic, or Latino, and you were in that group, you were told you didn't have to pay your bills, essentially?
Yes, that's correct, and that your loan would be forgiven up to 120% of the loan value.
To me,
wow. Wow.
So you can't be socially disadvantaged if you're white.
Correct.
Got it.
Right.
Okay.
So they went out and they talked to a white farmer who, by the way, found out about this, and then he sued the Biden administration, believe it or not, and actually won. Listen.
James Dunlap owns a small family farm in Baker City, Oregon. He works two other...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Other jobs to keep his farm afloat, but did not qualify for the loan forgiveness because he's white.
I knew what they were saying was that minority farmers were going to have their loans forgiven for no reason other than they decided to, they being the government. So,
and how much money they had nothing to do with it.
As far as I understand, not at all. It wasn't about hardship. It wasn't about financial situations at all. It was purely what box you checked under that ethnicity line on your application.
If you checked a non-white box, you got the free money no matter how rich you were.
And is that not amazing? So they've got this guy from the Department of Agriculture who's whistleblowing on this, because this guy, this farmer you just heard from there, James Dunlap, and a couple of other farmers took the Biden administration to court, and they won. And they X'd that out of the law. They're like, this is not constitutional. This is blatant racism. You can't get away with this. So, right, they won, and you'd think that was all to the story, correct? But remember when the Biden administration was told by the Supreme Court that they couldn't just randomly excuse billions of dollars in student loans, they still tried to figure out a way to do it. And this whistleblower says they were doing it anyway behind the scenes. Listen.
Biden administration was not ready to give up. They passed the Inflation Reduction Act to help farmers who couldn't pay their loans. It was supposed to help all farmers, But News Nation has learned all farmers were not told about it. News Nation obtaining a copy of this email that was sent out to share information about new payments and or loan modifications that may assist you. But here's the catch. Our whistleblower says it was only sent to the minority farmers, aka the socially disadvantaged group. And he says USDA workers were even instructed to tell that group to stop paying their loans because they would still be forgiven. The whistleblower says none of the white farmers he works with received the email.
They got nothing. You know, it might not meet the legal definition of fraud, but it isn't right. It was discriminating, it was discriminatory, it was unethical, and the people who pushed it are still in charge of the agency.
That was the shocking part at the end. He said, another reason I'm blowing the whistle here is that Donald Trump needs to understand the same people that did this bit of trickery are still in charge. The Trump administration has not replaced them yet at the USDA. So in other words, he's basically ringing the bell saying, hey, look at us over here. You got a bunch of people entrenched in the bureaucracy who were clearly practicing discrimination based on race, and they're still in charge.
Mm-hmm. There was just so much corruption. It was probably too much for the Trump administration to come in
so
quickly and try to get rid of all these people.
Things you would never have heard of.
Stupidity. Did they just think that some of these farmers who did receive that email wouldn't talk to their white farmer friends and say, hey, did you get the email? Why don't you apply for this?
Yeah. Yeah. It is kind of blatant, isn't it? I mean, it's kind of blatantly stupid that they thought they could get away with it. But who knows? If Kamala Harris was president right now, you wouldn't hear about this story. This wouldn't be a story.
No, it would still
be going on. All right. Jeremy Cady's coming up. He used to be with Americans for Prosperity, and he's got some thoughts on stadium funding by taxpayers and what the actual economic return is, which isn't very much. We'll be back. So a year ago, I was begging for a special session to focus on initiative petition reform. But things like that don't seem to be at the top of the list for our legislature, unfortunately. Because they're important. They would help us avoid having things crammed into the Missouri Constitution that shouldn't be there, like abortion on demand up until birth and, you know, marijuana dispensaries on every street corner in Missouri, because that's not a problem. But instead, we focus on the really important things, like spending taxpayer dollars to finance professional sports stadiums. I got Jeremy Cady on the line, and I've known Jeremy a long time. He used to be with Americans for Prosperity. Jeremy, welcome back. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So what all are you doing these days?
Right now, I am a private consultant. I work on a lot of the same issues that I worked on before. I help some great candidates get into office as well. But basically, I get paid to help taxpayers and to save you money.
Yeah, which this bill probably isn't going to do. Now, if I understand this correctly, what they're proposing here, what the governor's pushing for, what the royals and the chiefs want, is basically tax increment financing, right? They want to be able to keep all of the tax they generate at these stadiums in order to help pay for the cost of a new stadium in one case and renovations in the other case.
Absolutely. All told, it looks like they're looking at about $1.5 billion worth of total funding coming from taxpayers to the stadium projects. That's roughly, I think it's over 30 years, so that's about $50 million a year. Right now, I believe we're paying out about $500 to $550 million a year on current tax credits. That includes the low income housing, historic, and all the others that are there right now. So this adds approximately another 10% to the total tax dollars going out to private entities across the state. A huge amount, and it's to fund billionaires, individuals that could probably fund these projects all on their own.
How would this impact the average taxpayer? Because I think the argument that I've heard is, well, it's not like we're actually paying an additional tax to support these stadiums. But my understanding of it is, and correct me if I'm wrong, Jeremy, would be that this is money, tax dollars, that could be allocated elsewhere where it's needed.
Yeah, absolutely. And the big one that that a lot of people often talk about is education. You know, we need to spend more money on education, this, that, and the other. Well, guess what? This takes $1.5 billion out of the coffers that could be going to schools. Sure. These funds could be going to roads. They could be going to tax relief. I actually just saw a statement from the Missouri Freedom Caucus this morning advocating against the stadium funding and saying, hey, if we're going to have this discussion in a special session, we need to look at broad-based tax relief as well. So if we can afford to give $1.5 billion to a couple of billionaires, I would agree that we can afford to cut taxes for all Missourians by $1.5 billion as well.
We had Adam Schnelting on, the senator from the 23rd, this week, and he seemed to suggest the same thing, that if we're going to sit down and consider this tax break for the multimillionaires who own these sports franchises, there better be some tax relief for Missourians in there as well. So I think I can kind of see the direction that they're moving there in these negotiations over this. Jeremy, what's it really look like on paper, though? I mean, as a reporter, I used to cover the story when the Rams were in town about the Cardinals having a World Series run of all the extra money it's bringing in and generating for the local revenue. What's the real number there?
So a lot of the discussion is usually focused on what are the positives for bringing in a team and why we need to use these tax subsidies to get teams into these cities. But there's been a number of studies over the past several years, Mercatus, Cato Institute, that basically show that they only benefit the team owners, the people that actually own the teams, they don't necessarily benefit the local community or the state with the tax revenues that are brought in. And again, it displaces some of the investment that could be made in schools, roads, or even tax relief as well. I believe the Cato Institute, whenever they looked at it, they looked at about $14.7 billion worth of subsidies, and they found that it benefits no one but team owners and players. That's it, not taxpayers at all.
Yeah, the numbers in your article are pretty stunning. They're at jeremycady.com. It looked to me like when you compare it to the total GDP output for Kansas City, for example, what the Royals and the Chiefs combined brought in was about 0.5% of the local GDP.
No, absolutely. And that's part of a newer conversation. The reason why I wrote that piece is because I had a piece that I put out on Friday, and it was trying to say, hey, the positives that we keep getting sold about what these do for cities and municipalities and the states aren't there. But I got feedback from some of the Republican caucus members in the legislature that said, hey, right now the conversation is actually about what losses are we going to have if these teams move out of the state? What are the negative impacts? And so that's why I went through and I reviewed some of that. And again, we're treating these teams like they're huge, gigantic companies that if they leave are going to completely, eliminate the workforce in the cities. But the reality is both the Chiefs and the Royals together make up less than half of a percent of the total GDP of Kansas City. Kansas City can definitely move on without them. Total employees from both of them, I think Kansas City Royals had, whenever I checked, about 900 employees. The Kansas City Chiefs had nearly 800 employees. And funny enough, I was actually in a conversation with an employee from the teams. They actually work the stands as one of the vendors. And they said, well, what the numbers don't actually show is some of us actually work both. We'll work at the Chiefs Stadium during the NFL season, and then during the summer we're at the baseball stadium. So the actual total employment is probably less than that. And I was like, that is a great point. But they're small. They're actually a very small employer according to the statistics. The other big thing that they're saying is, well, if it leaves, GDP is going to fall, unemployment's going to rise, tax revenues are going to go in. And what I did was I looked at a bunch of cities that have recently lost franchises. So I looked at Houston, you know, the Oilers left for Tennessee. And it was hard to find the GDP numbers for Houston. I found some reports directly from the city of Houston that said their GDP was going up, but they didn't show an actual number. But it did show from the St. Louis Federal Reserve, they did have reports that showed that their unemployment dropped after they lost. Their general revenues from Houston went up, so their tax revenues went up. Now, I'm not saying that they went up, the revenues went up, or the unemployment went down because of the loss of the stadium and the team. But what I am saying is that didn't have a negative impact.
Right.
And that was shown again in St. Louis whenever they lost the Rams. That was shown again in San Diego whenever the Chargers left. And that was shown again in Oakland whenever the Raiders left. And the funny thing that I find is we can see California actually had a great dichotomy in how different cities treated the issue. Whenever the Chargers were looking at leaving San Diego, they also said, oh, this is going to be horrible for us. All the jobs, all the revenue, we're going to lose millions of dollars into the economy. And nothing happened. But whenever the Raiders looked at leaving Oakland, there's quotes from the mayor and a bunch of economists and everything in the area there that said, does it really matter?
Jeremy, do you think they'll actually leave, or is this just an empty threat?
You know, there's a lot of conversation around that. To be honest, I really don't know. I'm not in the inner workings of the office. I don't know what their plans are. Some of it could be an idle threat. Like, hey, we're going to try to pick Kansas versus Missouri, see if we can get a sweetheart deal. I do know that some of them can't move immediately, even if they wanted to. And so you've got that there. But at the same time, though, I mean, I think they're trying to maximize their profits.
Sure,
I mean, that's what they're trying to do. But at the same time, you've got a point. This might just be an idle threat to force the legislators' hand to fund some of their stadium projects with our tax dollars.
Well, and it, from what I'm reading, it looks like maybe Cindy O'Loughlin, which would represent Senate leadership, Governor Kehoe, and I don't know if John Patterson's on board or not in the House, but they've got a couple of powerful allies down in Jeff City for sure.
They do. They do. And again, like I said, the Freedom Caucus looks like they put out a statement this morning saying that right now they're opposing it. They want some broad-based tax relief in there as well. So that's a good sign. So I don't think this is going to be necessarily as easy as they think. You've got the Freedom Caucus kind of standing there saying, hey, this is wrong. You're going to have an odd situation where you come in and Democrats were just PQ'd just a couple of weeks ago. And they're still angry about that. You've got some heartburn from some of the budget folks of House Bill 19 going down. So there's a lot of different things at play right now. And, you know, I was talking to a couple of individuals and they're like, well, the governor would not have called this if they didn't have the whip count already. And I was like, yeah, I would be surprised.
I was going to say, is that true? Yeah, I don't know.
It's going to be harder than I think they're letting on right now.
All right. Well, Jeremy, Katie, we appreciate your time. People want to read that article, they can check out your website there, Jeremy, Katie, C-A-D-Y, at it's jeremykatie.com, correct?
Correct. JeremyKatie.com. And I have both the recent one about how it's not as negative as people say, and then also the one that I did on Friday about there's really no positive impact of bringing them in either.
All right. Very good. Jeremy, thanks for your time.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Have a great day. Food for thought there. Good conversation to have. I don't know where it's going to go in Jeff City, but we'll keep talking about it. Keep you up to date on it once the...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman... Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
A special session starts next week. All right. What are we talking about on Kim on a Whim?
You know, I'm a big homeschool advocate, but now there's this movement called unschooling that's really, really gaining momentum. And I have some concerns about that. I'll explain what it is and why I'm so concerned when we come back.
Kim on a Whim.
Look, I'm all about homeschooling. I think that's fantastic when you can do it. I have friends who do that, but there's some movement called unschooling that they're saying is kind of an offshoot of homeschooling that's really gaining momentum, specifically on social media. And I have some serious concerns about this. So if you've never heard of it, I had not until I read this article, but basically they're saying it is self-directed education. It's a form of homeschooling where it's based on activities and life experiences chosen by the child. So there's very little structure. There's a woman who was interviewed for this article, and she has younger children who are 5, 6, and 9. And she says that for most of the day, that might mean playing outside, drawing, practicing drums. There's no grades, there's no tests, no general structured curriculum. It's really letting the child kind of choose the best path.
Kind of and sounds the way like a that liberal's I guess dream. They,
well, and that's the thing. That's
what if they
so,
choose their own gender while they're at it?
It's just very odd to me. So I understand that, like, when you homeschool, you know, you might be able to get through all the curriculum in 2 to 3 hours that you would take 8 hours in school to get through. So I get, you know, that there's a big benefit to having that time outside or letting them be creative, and that could include drawing, but just having no structure whatsoever and letting the kid choose. I mean, my kid eats dirt. I mean, my kid would like that. That's crazy to me that you just let the kid dictate everything. Choices I get for kids are important, but not when it comes to this. In fact, I think children thrive on structure, and some of the yes. biggest issues you see with kids are when parents are more worried about being their kid's friend than they are being a parent and a disciplinarian when needed. And the kids just think that they rule the world. And now we're seeing those children who were raised like that growing up, and the same habits you probably work with some of them. I'm not saying here, but I'm just saying we've all had people we know who are like that. The world revolves around them.
I probably ate dirt as a kid, but I also got my butt blistered if I didn't get home in time for dinner, or not blistered is the wrong word. It's an old phrase. But, you know, you were disciplined if you, if you didn't get home for dinner in time, or you stayed out after dark and mom and dad couldn't find you, or, you know, I never got homeschooled. I would have to say that. But where are they doing this, Kim? I mean, because I can't imagine the state allowing that in some cases. I mean, if you have a kid that's of school age, you're expected to have them in school, or if you're homeschooling them, there's still a few guidelines, right?
There's guidelines, but it's not. In fact, what they're trying to do in Illinois is they're trying to put stricter regulations on the homeschoolers, and they want them to, they're trying to pass a bill that would make the homeschool parents submit curriculum to the state, and they would then have a say in that.
J.B. Pritzker.
Exactly, and we can all imagine where that would go. If they're trying to say that we're going to teach them that contradicts what the school would want to teach them, which is likely to be woke and all this nonsense you wouldn't want your kids being taught. These videos have, these unschooling videos, as they're calling them, they have millions of views on social media. Now, I'm not a Kardashian fan, but supposedly...
Who?
You know, the Kardashian family.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of them.
Can't really stand that family. But supposedly, even Kourtney Kardashian was saying that she felt like sending kids to school felt really dated. Again, all about homeschooling. I've thought about homeschooling.
Can
or at least
afford to hire somebody to come in and tutor their children.
Well, unschool their kids.
Yeah. Unschool?
That's what they're calling it now. Unschooling. There has to be some line. There needs to be structure. I just refuse to believe that letting the kid pick exactly what they want to do is somehow, or doing that all the time is somehow good.
No, because they'd also want snacks all the time. I mean, you have to draw the line somewhere with children. They're not emotionally or mentally capable of making their own decisions like that at that age.
Right.
They need guidance.
Right.
This is no guidance.
I agree.
We're just going to create a whole new Democrat Party.
It just goes back to where you're swinging the pendulum too far. Why can't we just like have a normal amount of like swinging the pendulum? Like, why do we always have to go too far to the other side? What's up with that?
It's a good question. All right. There are big decisions in D.C., right? An appellate court just said the president can't issue these tariffs, didn't have the right to do it. What does that all mean? Well, we happen to have the Supreme Court reporter and the host of Fox News Sunday, Shannon Bream, joining us at about 8:22, so we will pick her brain coming up.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.